to see the characters in the Bible, and you've given them as an example to be able to teach us something. Lord, we love you so much. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Genesis chapter 11 and chapter 12. And we saw here a very famous story, a very important story in the Bible. And extremely important story. A few verses, but something that is extremely important in the Bible. We see here when God calls Abraham, and Abraham comes out of the Ur of the Chaldees and goes to a land that God will show him. Now, just to put things in context, this very short story, really, as Abraham goes to Canaan land, and he obviously has Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, you know, 12 brethren there, and then that leads into the story of the nation of Israel. Really, the rest of the Old Testament, and really the entire Bible, just deals with the history of the decision that Abraham decided to make right here. When God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he went in to a land that the Bible says God would show him. Now, let's just by way of introduction, look at verse 27. We'll look at some of the verses in the story. The Bible says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, that's Abraham before God changed his name, Nahor, and Haran, begat Lot. So Terah is Abraham's father, or Abram's father. Lot is Abram's nephew, who's the son of Abram's brother, Haran. Alright, so Lot is his nephew, and that'll be good to know. Lot plays a big role in some of these stories, so it's just good to understand that Lot is Abram's nephew. Terah is Abram's father. Look at verse 28. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of the Chaldees. So Haran dies before his father, Terah, dies. And Haran, if you remember, is Lot's brother from the previous, is Lot's father from the previous verse. So Lot is now left with no father. He has no dad. Look at verse 29. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. And the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah. And the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. But Sarai was barren and had no child. So I'm just trying to give you, because this is really an introduction of these characters. They're going to be major characters in the rest of the book of Genesis and for the rest of the Bible. Sarai was Abram's wife. They have no children. Look at verse 31. And Terah took Abram his son. Now I want you to see this, and this is point number one in the sermon. It's kind of going to be introduction and then the preaching towards the end. But if you look at verse 31, the Bible says, and Terah took Abram his son. Now, if you know Bible history, if you know Bible, you know, just the Bible story, the Bible says that God called Abram. You know, I'm getting really distracted. Moses, I just need you to look up here, okay? Sit up straight and look up here. And Rebecca, look up here. You understand me? You guys need to learn this story and learn this Bible. The Bible says that God called Abraham. And if you see in verse number 1 in Genesis chapter 12, it says, and now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Do you see that? But in verse 31 of Genesis 11, the Bible says, and Terah, who's the father of Abraham, it says, and Terah took Abram his son. So if you see, the Bible says that Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. And Sarai, his, and when it says his, it's referring back to Terah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So if you see, the Bible says Terah took Abram, and he took his son's law, and he took Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and he initiates this journey, and they're going, the Bible says, they're going to Canaan land, but the Bible says at the last part of that verse, they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So no doubt, God called Abram, and God told Abram, I want you to go, and the Bible doesn't specifically tell us this, but surely Abram went to his father and said, hey, I'm going to be leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, I'm going to be going to a land that God will show me. And I'm sure Terah decided, hey, I'd like to go on that adventure. Hey, I'd like to do that. I'd like to travel. But the Bible says, and it's very, you got to take note of this, it says in Genesis 11:31, Terah took Abram his son. So Terah takes charge of this journey. Bible says they stopped in Haran. No doubt, that was a decision that Terah made, since Terah was running the show. And Terah probably wasn't Now you gotta keep in mind, why would they stop in Haran? If you look at verse 31 again, it says, well, let's just read it. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees, and it says, to go to the land of Canaan. So they were going to the right place. They were going to the land of Canaan. But the Bible says, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So they were going to Canaan, and I'm sure Terah maybe decided, because he's taking the lead, because he's the one who's taking them on this journey, and maybe he decided, let's go to Haran, and let's dwell there for a while. And maybe Abraham was thinking, well, I don't really want to go to Haran. Or, you know, we were supposed to be going to Canaan land, but Terah is taking charge, and Terah decides, it's a good idea, let's just go to Canaan. How do we know that Terah decided? Because he's the one that took charge. He's the one that's taking them. Terah took Abram, his son. Now, Terah probably wasn't as interested to getting to Canaan as Abraham was, and I'll show you why. Terah might have not been interested. Go with me just real quickly to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Joshua, chapter number 24. And we'll see something about Terah. Joshua, chapter number 24, and look at verse number 2. Terah in Joshua, chapter number 24, and look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abram, and the father of Nahor, and look what it says, they served other gods. So Joshua lets us know that Terah, the father of Abraham, served other gods. So why was Terah maybe not as interested, or not as excited, or not as concerned to go to Canaan land? Well, one of the reasons is because he didn't serve the God of Abraham. God spoke to Abraham, and God told Abraham, I want you to go to a country that you don't know of. I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave this country and go somewhere that I will tell you of. And Terah, for whatever reason, took control of the situation. He decided, hey, we're going to go on this trip. Sure, let's go to Canaan land, but let's just go ahead and stop in Haran. And one of the reasons that Terah might have not been as interested in following the instructions that God had led is because the Bible makes it clear in Joshua 24:2 that Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, served other gods. He didn't serve the same God that Abraham served. He didn't worship the same God that Abraham worshipped. And you know, the Bible says this. A lot of times in the Bible, Canaan land is a picture. The Canaan land that Abraham was going to, the Canaan land that the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and they were going to Canaan land, and they got distracted there for 40 years in the wilderness before they were able to cross the Jordan River and go into Canaan land. But a lot of times the Bible will use that as an example, or will use that as an example of heaven. You know, one day we're going to go to Canaan land, and one day we're going on a journey, and we're traveling to a city too, just like Abraham was, and we're going to heaven. But the problem is that a lot of times in this journey, see, Abraham, and we'll talk about this. Oh, let's talk about it now. Abraham didn't necessarily sin by going to Haran. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he did leave the country, and he was on his way to Canaan land. And he wasn't necessarily doing wrong by going to Haran or going with his father-in-law. If you look at... Let's see, where do I have these notes? Go just real quickly, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 23. He was still going to Canaan land. The Bible, and here's another thing, the Bible doesn't necessarily show us Abraham being rebuked by God, doesn't necessarily show us Abraham being chastened by God. The Bible never mentions that Abraham sinned by going to Haran. The Bible only talks positive about this story, when in different times in scriptures, when it's mentioned again, it talks positive about Abraham, that he left the Ur of the Chaldees. So I personally don't necessarily believe that it was a sin that Abraham went to Haran and stopped off at Haran on their journey to Canaan. But let me tell you something, I don't believe that it was the best use of their time. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, all things are lawful for me. Paul is talking and he's saying, look, there's All things are lawful. Everything is legal for me to do. I can do whatever I want. This morning we preached a sermon on eternal security, and we proved from the Bible how once you're saved, you're always saved, and you will never lose your salvation, no matter what you do. And it's very clear from the Scriptures, and we looked at many verses. I mean, probably 30, 40 verses that just prove that doctrine from the Bible. And here in 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul, referring to the fact that he's got eternal security, referring to the fact that he will not lose his salvation, he says, all things are lawful for me, but look at what he says, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So what Paul was saying was, hey, I can do whatever I want, and it's legal. I can do anything that I'd like to do, and it's not. I'm not going to lose my salvation. I'm not going to, you know, go to hell because I do something. But he says, not everything is expedient. That means it's not the best. Not everything edifies me. He says there's certain things that may not be a sin, or things that may be a sin and I just won't lose my salvation, but they're not going to be the best for my life. And when Abram allowed Terah, his father, to take charge and they went to Haran, Abraham might have not necessarily been sinning. Abraham might have not necessarily been doing anything wrong. They were still on their way to Canaan. The Bible doesn't tell us that he was doing, you know, specifically anything wrong. Let me tell you something. It might have not been the best use of their time to spend time in Haran. And one of the reasons that Terah just decided, hey, let's go to Haran, and he wasn't as interested maybe as Abraham would have been to go to Canaan land, is because Terah wasn't saved. He was not serving the God, the same God, the same Jehovah God that Abraham was serving. Let me tell you something. In our Christian lives, if you're saved tonight, you're going to one day make it to Canaan land, and you're going to go to Canaan land, but sometimes we yoke ourselves up with people that aren't serving the same God we're serving, and we just end up wasting time in Haran. And the sad thing is that many Christians are going to get to heaven one day and realize that their entire life was spent in Haran because they just wasted their time and they wasted their life with people that did not have the same God and were not serving the same God. And look, can two walk together except they be agreed is what the Bible says. So as we yoke ourselves up, as Abram yoked himself up with his father, who was not interested in serving the same God that Abraham was serving, he ended up wasting time in Haran. And one day, look, I'm going to make it to heaven, and one day, if you're saved, you're going to make it to heaven, and you're going to make it to Canaan land, but you might just waste your time in Haran. Tonight's sermon is entitled this, Don't Waste Your Life in Haran. Abraham might have thought, you know, I really don't want to spend so much time in Haran. But Terah is taking control. The Bible says Terah took Abram. And Terah maybe just isn't as interested because he's not serving the same God. Maybe Terah isn't as interested because he didn't have the same call that Abram called. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, go back to Genesis and look at verse 12. Genesis chapter 12 and look at verse 1. Genesis 12 and look at verse 1. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. If you skip down to verse number 4, it says it again, Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So we see that very specifically. Bible says that the Lord had said unto Abraham. Bible says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So maybe Terah wasn't as interested because he didn't have the same call that Abraham. See, Terah, no doubt Terah knew that God had called Abraham. I mean, that's why they went on the journey. I'm sure Abraham went to Terah, his father, and said, God told me to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. And for whatever reason, Terah was interested in the journey. And he said, hey, let's go. And the Bible says he took charge. And Terah took Abram. The Bible says Terah took Lot. And the Bible says Terah took Sarai. And he said, let's go on this journey. And they stopped by Haran. And maybe Terah wasn't as interested because he wasn't serving the same God that Abraham was serving. But even more than that, he just didn't have the same calling that Abraham called. Sometimes we let people who don't have the same calling on their lives that we have in our lives waste our time and take us to places that just waste our time as we're journeying to Canaan land. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, something that a lot of people can relate to. Parenting. You know, God has a calling in my life of being a father. Obviously, He gave me two children, so I'm a father. And there are things, you know, sometimes at work, people you know, they, especially in the military, they try to push this whole cohesiveness and you know this unit or whatever. And people, and sometimes at work, people will say, and I don't necessarily think that they're even really trying to do anything sinful, anything wrong. You know, people will say, hey, we're gonna go go-kart racing. Do you want to come? You know, it's these young guys that have no kids, and you know, I could maybe go spend every, you know, something that's really big with people my age, paintballing. You know, go-kart racing, all these things. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing simple with those things. And these guys, you know, maybe they're doing simple things while they're doing it, you know, getting drunk and doing all these stupid things. But, you know, I'm sure I could find some, you know, paintball league to go be a part of or something else. But hey, that could be a distraction from what God has called me to do. If I decided to just, hey, I'm going to go paintballing every Friday night, every Saturday, and I just don't spend any time with my kids, that might be a distraction from what God has called me. Now, hey, those guys who are inviting me over, they don't have any children. Maybe they're not doing anything wrong. They're just trying to have fun, and they're just trying to be friendly, and they're saying, you know, giving me an invitation or whatever. But the thing is, they don't have the same calling that I have. They don't have children like I have children, and God has given me children. I can't spend my life paintballing. I can't spend my life bowling. I can't spend, and I'm not saying anything that's wrong, and you know, doing that by, you know, it's not simple. But God has a calling. Or, you know, another example, I'm a pastor of a church. God has that calling. That, I mean, sometimes I can't, you know, on Saturday nights, we gotta get ready for church. You know, my wife and I, we gotta get things ready and gotta get going. And sometimes people who aren't necessarily trying to be sinful or do anything wrong, they just don't have that same calling. See, Tira has no problem spending his life in Haran, but God didn't call Tira, God called Abram. God didn't speak to Tira, God spoke to Abram. And you gotta recognize the things and the ministries and the stuff that God has put in your life and that God has called you to do. And maybe there's people in your life who are distracting you, and people in your life who are taking you away and pulling you this way and pulling you that way. And they might be bad people, but they might not be bad people, they might just not have the same calling, and they're just wasting your time. God had already told Abram what to do. Look at verse 32 in Genesis chapter 11. Actually, look at verse 1 in Genesis 12. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. It's very interesting, because we just got done reading that, well, look at verse 31 again. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, and look what it says, as the Lord had spoken unto him. God had already told Abram what to do. It's a little more clear in the book of Acts. If you go with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 7, in the New Testament. Acts chapter number 7, and look at verse number 2. Acts chapter number 7, and look at verse number 2. The Bible says, this is Stephen, by the way, preaching. And he's preaching to the Jews there in Acts 7, and he begins to go into the history of Israel. And he says in verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. And look what it says. Before he dwelt in Haran. Now, Haran is the New Testament translation of Haran in the Old Testament. Obviously, when, you know, the Old Testament is Hebrew, the New Testament is Greek. When you translate certain words, they translate a little different. But Haran is the Old Testament Haran. So the Bible says that God appeared, the God of glory, appeared unto Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. That's the Ur of the Chaldees. Before he dwelt in Haran. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. So we see there, God had talked to Abraham before he left Haran. He talked to him before he went to Haran. He talked to him in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your country, and I want you to leave your kindred, and I want you to leave your father's house. But Abraham didn't depart to finish the journey until Terah died. And in Genesis 12:14, if you go back to Genesis 12:14, you'll see, so Abram departed as a... I'm sorry, not Genesis 12:14. Genesis 11. Let me get there. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. So he didn't depart until Terah had died, but he spent some time in Haran. But look at verse number 31. Look at verse 5 in Genesis 12. It's very interesting what the Bible says. Verse 5 in Genesis 12. Now it says, just look at the first few words. The first three words. It says, and Abram took. Now compare that with Genesis 11:31 that says, and Terah took. You see the difference? At the beginning of the journey, the Bible says, Terah took Abram and Lot and Sarai. They go spend time in Haran. The Bible says in verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So Terah dies in Haran. And then after that, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. You know, something he'd already told him in Mesopotamia, something he'd already told him in the Ur of the Chaldees. And then in Genesis 12:5, now the story changes. Now it says, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gone in Haran. So now Abram's taking charge that Terah dies. Haran, and I know it's really simple, I'm just trying to show you the entire story so you understand it. Haran is just a waste of time. Haran is anything that wastes your time. Abram was trying to get to Canaan land. Abram was supposed to go to Canaan land. God had called him to go to Canaan land. In fact, God had told him to go to a land that he didn't even know where he was going. He packed his bags. I mean, this is a crazy story. God talked to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to pack your bags. I want you to get your family. I want you to grab everything you have. And I want you to go. He said, Abraham says, where am I going? God, just go. I'll show you. He said, but what's the address? Just go. Bible tells us that Abram didn't even know where he was going. We know now that he ended up in Canaan land, and they were journeying to that Canaan land. They were journeying to that destination. But when Terah took charge, and Terah didn't have the same focus that Abram had, and Terah didn't have the same God that Abram had, and Terah didn't have the same call in his life that Abram had, they ended up just stopping over at Haran. And it wasn't necessarily wrong that they stopped at Haran, but it was just a waste of time. It was a waste of time. Abram still made it to Canaan. But he just wasted time in Haran. Haran had nothing to do with anything. And as Christians today, Haran is anything that wastes your time. Haran is anything that wastes your time. Haran is anything that wastes your time and stops you from journeying. See, the Christian life, the Bible refers to it as we're running. The Bible refers to it as a war. But the Bible many times it says we're running and it's a journey and we're trying to get to a destination. And the destination we're getting to is eventually Canaan land. The destination we're getting to is eventually heaven. But like Abraham, as he's journeying to Canaan land, he stops up at Haran and he just wastes time there. And the problem is that many times the application to our life is this, that as we're traveling to Canaan land, sometimes we hook ourselves up with people and we end up wasting time in Haran. Haran is anything that will waste your time. What's stopping you from walking with God? What's stopping you from walking your journey? What's stopping you from, is it your friends? Is it your family? Is it your sin? Is it anger? Is it troubles? Is it anguish? Is it emotions? Is it whatever is keeping you from getting right with God? For whatever is keeping you from going on the journey, from moving on and going towards that destination of Canaan land, that thing that is stopping you is the same that stopped Abram. It's just your Haran. And I'd hate to get to the end of my life and realize I wasted my life in Haran. If you look at Genesis 11:32, look at what it says very carefully. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah, look what it says, died in Haran. Do you think Terah was planning to die in Haran? I can promise you he wasn't. Because when in verse 31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai the daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and it says, and they went forth with them from the earth of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So Terah it seems clear from the Bible, when he went on his journey, he was planning on getting to Canaan land. But because he decided to stop in Haran, the Bible says he died in Haran. And you know what? That's what Haran is. People, lives die in Haran. Christian lives die in Haran. People who have potential, and people that can do something, and people that can, you know, you really have two options in your life. One day you can get to heaven, and you can just be a hero. I mean, honestly, the Bible says that we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to get rewarded. And here's the thing, we're going to get rewarded based on how many people we get saved. Period. That's what the Bible says, and I've proven that from the Bible in many sermons before. But, I mean, the economy in heaven is souls. You know, people think, oh, you're not going to get rewarded in heaven because you were a good person. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get rewarded in heaven because you went to church. I mean, this is what God expects you to do. Going to church is what God expects you to do. Reading your Bible is what God expects you to do. Praying is what God expects you to do. You know, we act like these things are so hard. Oh, it's so hard to read the Bible, and it's so hard to pray, and there's this huge struggle. Those are things that God expects you to do. He doesn't even reward you for those things. When you get to heaven, you get rewarded based on the amount of people you led to the Lord, based on the amount of people you got saved. You get rewarded based on the work you did to get people saved. And that's really the economy in heaven. If you wanna know, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, okay, in the millennium, how many am I gonna get a crown? Am I gonna get to rule and reign over you know, many cities or a continent or a country or what is God gonna reward me in heaven? Well, how's your soul winning life? Because that's what God's gonna reward you in heaven. It's very clear from the scripture. But see, we end up wasting our lives in Haran. And Terah, who was planning on making it to Canaan, just died in Haran. And never even made it to Canaan. You know, and I would hate to get to heaven one day. See, because the thing is, we don't understand it now because we get this tunnel vision. And we just look at our lives and we look at what we're going through and we look at what the issues that are plaguing us and all our struggles and all our problems and everything we have. But the thing is, the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. Bible says that our life, I mean, if you honestly, I don't know if you've ever done this. When I was a kid, I used to do this all the time, and I stopped doing it because I wasted so much time doing it. But I would just try to think, you know, how long is eternity? Have you ever done that? Just try to think, how long is forever? Because human beings, we think in time. You know, we think in today ends, tomorrow begins, this year ends, a new year begins. But the Bible says in heaven, there's no time. We're just going to be there forever. It's just going to be eternity. That's why God said, you know, when Moses asked him, you know, who do I tell them? Who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? He said, tell them that I am sent you. You know, I would have asked, you know, I am who? Who are you? And he said, I just am. I'm not anybody. I just am. Because God was saying, I just exist. There's no time frame. There's no beginning. There's no end. I just am. And sometimes I would think, you know, how long is eternity? If you really just sit down and think about it, it'll blow your mind because you can't grasp that idea of eternity. I mean, is it 1,000 years? Longer. Is it 10,000 years? Longer. Is it 1,000,000 years? 1,000,000,000 years? I mean, it's not even anything. It's not, we won't say, oh, we've been here for 1,000,000,000 years now. We're just going to say, we've been here. It's forever. It's eternity. And our little lives, our little short lives, are 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. And you compare that small, minuscule 70, 80, 90, 100-year time frame to eternity. And the sad thing is, one day we're going to get to heaven. Look, I don't want to get to heaven and be in line for the rewards and see people that I knew and see friends and family. And I'm going to see Paul, and he's going to be talking to all the people he left to the Lord and all the people he got saved. And all these thousands and millions of people are going to be coming up to Paul and saying, thank you. And we all, by the way, if you're a Gentile and you're saved, you're indebted to Paul. The gospel came to you through Paul. And Paul is going to get rewarded for all of those people that he left to the Lord. And soul winners and preachers all over the world and all throughout history are going to get rewarded, and God's going to give them crowns. And God, I mean, think about who we're competing against when it comes, because there's only so much room to be rewarded. I mean, the Bible says we get rewarded, and God, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. So we're going to be ruling areas. If you think about all the millions of people that have been saved throughout the years, how are we all going to be ruling and reigning? Think about how big Earth is. I know it's Earth. I know it's big. But how big it is. And then think about the people we're competing against. Paul. Stephen. Peter. I mean, these people led thousands of people to the Lord. You know, I mean, the sad part is, I think we're going to get to heaven and just be overwhelmed
with the thought. I mean, I don't even think, as I'm talking about it right now, I don't even think even I understand how much we waste our lives. We're going to be overwhelmed with the thought that we did nothing for Christ. I mean, I think the sad thing is that many of us are just going to find ourselves cleaning toilets in the millennium. You know, just raking leaves. Because we did nothing with our lives. Because we just allow ourselves to spend our lives in Haran. Abraham eventually made it to Canaan. But he spent time in Haran. And it was just a waste of time. Was it necessarily sinful? I don't know. I don't think so. Some people believe it was sinful. You know, I don't know that I necessarily say it was sinful. But even if it wasn't sinful, it was a waste of his time. And I don't want to get to heaven and just realize I had one opportunity. One life so soon shall pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I don't want to get to heaven and realize I had one opportunity to do something. I had one opportunity to make a difference. I had one opportunity to get people saved. I had one opportunity to influence people. I had one opportunity to raise my children. I had one opportunity to do things and serve God and live for God and just realize that I wasted and like Tira just killed my Christian life in Haran. And I just didn't. Wouldn't it be horrible if I just get to heaven and realize I had one chance to raise two boys for God and I ruined it because I just wanted to spend my life in Haran? I know we don't think that way here, but I think in heaven we're going to be overwhelmed with the idea. And we're going to wish that we didn't yoke up with Tira. We're going to wish that we didn't yoke up with somebody who allowed us to get distracted because they weren't serving the same God. And they didn't have the same focus. And they didn't have the same call. And I'm not saying those people, you know, there's unsaved people that are very nice, very polite, very decent people. But they don't have the same calling on their life that I have on my life. They don't have the same calling on their life that you have on your life. And you may be a mother. You may be a father. You may be a pastor. You say, well, I'm not really. God's called you to be a soul winner. And you've got, there's something that God you to do, and somebody's going to try to get you to go to Haran, to waste your time. And the sad part is that things die in Haran. Tira had every idea, every purpose to make it to Canaan land, but when he went to Haran, he died in Haran. And it's a very common thing, wasting your life. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, remember, they were supposed to go to Canaan land, and because they rebelled and they hardened their hearts toward God, Bible says that God made them waste their lives. You remember the story? 40 years till a whole generation died in the wilderness, never made it to Canaan land. The exact same thing. And the Bible says that until the entire generation died, then God allowed them to go into the promised land. And I'm telling you something, those people literally got to heaven and realized we literally wasted our lives in the desert. We literally wasted our lives just walking in circles in the desert and we never made it to Canaan land. Why? You could have done it. They could have done it. God had every intention, God had every purpose for them to make it to Canaan land, but they didn't. And they wasted their time. Go with me real quick to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. We'll look at a few verses, we'll be done. Hebrews chapter number 11, look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 8 in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Isn't that an amazing statement? Say, hey Abraham, how do you go? I mean, could you literally imagine if tomorrow morning I woke up and I said to my wife, okay, we got to pack our bags, we're going to sell the house, we're going to load everything up, and we're going to go to a land that God has told us to go. And my wife asks, where are we going? And I say, I have no idea. I mean, the Bible says, look at the last part of that verse, not knowing whither he went. He didn't even know where he was going. But how did he do that? How was he able to do that and just unselfishly obey God? And here's the key word, by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. You know what made Abraham such a hero of the faith? I mean, Abraham's a major player in the Bible. He's one of the main guys in the Bible. And he and the reason he has that that privilege or that following and that reputation is because of this word, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skip down to verse number 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, you should be very comfortable. You should be very wary not to get too comfortable here on earth. Because the Bible says that we are just strangers. We are just pilgrims on earth. And it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. This isn't talking about, I don't know if you noticed, but this isn't talking about Abraham anymore. This is talking to Christians. It says, they seek a country. And it says, and if truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Bible says when God saved you, He called you out of a country. Just like He called Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave that pagan country. I want you to leave the worshiping idols. I want you to leave those heathen people. And I want you to go to a country that I will show you of. In the exact same way, the Bible says when God saved you, He called you out of a country. And He said, I want you to go. He said, you are a stranger. You are a pilgrim. You don't belong here. You're just on earth temporarily. And it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You will return to the country that God called you out of if you're mindful of that country. Luke 9:62, you have to turn there. It says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If God gives you a work, if God gives you a mission, if God gives you something to do, and you take that plow and you say, I'm going to get to work, and then you look back at that old country, God says, you're not even fit for the kingdom of God. Look at verse 16, Hebrews 11:16. But now, they desire a better country. That is, in heaven. See, this country, this world we live in, there's a better country. There's a better life. There's a better heaven. But look, this is very interesting. Look at the end of verse 16. But now they desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared for them a city. That's one of the most intriguing phrases in the Bible I think I've ever read. Bible says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. The Bible says that God is looking for a people that act and go and have faith in a certain way that He would not be ashamed to be called their God. Now the flip side to that is this. If there are certain people that God says, those are the people that I am not ashamed to be called their God, you know what the sad truth is? That means there are Christians that the Bible makes it clear God is ashamed to be called their God. There are people who are saved. We preached on eternal security this morning. They are saved. They're on their way to heaven. They're not going to lose their salvation. They're going there. God is their Father. They have the Spirit. They're not. It's eternal life. But God, the sad thing is, God looks down at them and says, I'm ashamed to be associated with you. I'm ashamed to be called your God because of the way you go in your journey. Look, I don't want to get to heaven and be at that line, be at that judgment seat of Christ, and say, man, I wonder what I'm going to get awarded, and get to heaven, and just have God look at me and say, I was ashamed to be called your God. Whenever you told somebody you were a Christian, I was embarrassed because of the way you journeyed on earth. Did you make it to Canaan? Of course you did. But did you waste your life? The Bible says, I want to live in a way wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. I want to live in a way, and I want to just end my life to where God says, they desire a better country. That is an heavenly country. Heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Here's the whole point of the sermon. There are things in this world, and there are people in this world, that just want to waste your time and waste your life. And if you go to Haran, you might just die there. You might just end up wasting your entire life there. But even if you continue on to Canaan land, there's still a waste of time. Don't waste your time in Haran. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for church.